Cosmic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
We're talking about Gloria Allred. And, of course, you've got your gig on Power of Attorney.
Yeah. I love Power of Attorney.
That's a great show.
It's a great show.
Yeah. And I understand, actually, that during the season you'll be pitted against your daughter.
Actually, we will. We're going to be going up against each other. We already have gone up against each other. Of course, we couldn't do that in real life because in real life we're in the same law firm.
Ah.
So we couldn't actually go up and litigate against each other in a courtroom, but we can do that on Power of Attorney.
Yeah.
And we have done a couple of shows already together, and they were a lot of fun. Apparently a big hit with the public as well. We did very well in the ratings on those shows.
Mm.
And my daughter's quite a very vigorous advocate for her point of view.
Now, you are quite an advocate for your point of view as well, so she takes after Mom.
Well, I think maybe a little bit, but she's also, she's earned her spurs, so to speak, by herself as well. She's been a national collegiate debating champion. She won moot court championship at Yale Law School, and she's a very strong trial lawyer, so she's not afraid to state her view and stand up for her clients, and she likes to get out there and do battle, and she loves to win, so she's got that good competitive spirit.
Mm. And one of the things that's interesting about your career is that you actually started off as a high school teacher.
I did. I was a teacher for 6.5 years in public schools, and then I became a labor organizer for the teachers union, and then I went into my own law practice, and of course we're probably best known for our work, Mark, in women's rights, civil rights. We represented the family of Nicole Brown Simpson during the criminal case. We had a very interesting high-profile case a number of years ago representing Hunter Tylo, where we sued Melrose Place, alleging that because she got pregnant, she was terminated and was not able to perform, was told that she couldn't have a role in Melrose Place that she had been promised. I think they had the notion that you can't be sexy, beautiful, and pregnant all at the same time. We proved that you could be, and the jury awarded her over $5 million. So that was a great case, and we like to stand up for women's rights. And we've represented men too, Mark. We represented a man in a sexual harassment case suing another man who sexually harassed him, and we won a $5 million verdict in that case as well.
And, of course, the case where you had the HIV-positive client who wanted to get a pedicure.
Well, that's right. That was a very important case. That was Paul Jasperson versus Jessica's Nail Salon. And he was denied a pedicure after he disclosed that he had AIDS. The appointment that he had was broken, and they wouldn't make a new one for him. And we fought that because, the issue really was, does a business have a right to discriminate against persons simply because they have AIDS? That case went on for many years, even after the patient died, and we won that case. We won really two issues in that case. Not only the case itself did we win, but a very important new precedent that said that just because a patient, person dies during their case, if they have AIDS, that case for discrimination can continue to go on seeking an injunction. Because otherwise, if you said it couldn't, then defendants would just drag out these cases, hoping that the people they discriminated against died, and therefore the defendants would win the lawsuit. And that can't be, otherwise it would just encourage discrimination. So we won an important victory saying that these cases can go on even if the patient dies.
Mm. Television is very interesting at this point, and so is radio. And as a talk show host, nowadays with the election, this is the biggest story we've had in many, many years in terms of generating calls. It's unbelievable. What's your take on the election?
Oh, I agree with you, and because I'm a radio talk show host as well as being on Power of Attorney. I'm on KBC in Los Angeles. And, yes, we have like a tidal wave of calls. I mean, we don't dare talk about anything else, Mark. It's like, when people say, when you got an elephant in the room, you can't ignore it. Well, in this case, you got an elephant and a donkey in the room,
uh-huh.
And you really can't ignore it, and that's what the public is very interested in. I think it's, of course, I'm a Gore supporter,
uh-huh.
And I'd like Gore to win, but most importantly, I'm concerned about the process. As the judge pointed out yesterday, the Florida legislature was not just concerned about finality of results, it was also concerned about accuracy. It's also concerned about fairness. And, I mean, doesn't every vote count? Shouldn't we know what the intent and the will of the voters was? And, learning what the intent and the will of the voters is important not just for the people of Florida, but that affects my vote here in California. That affects your vote in Boston, Massachusetts. because we just have to know. And I think the Republicans fear the hand count. And that's why the Republican Secretary of State, who was also co-chair of the Bush campaign and went as a delegate to the Republican National Convention, seems to be putting a lot of obstacles in the path of trying to find out what the will of the voters really is. She doesn't want those hand counts. I think she's concerned that Bush won't win if all the votes are counted. And that's really unfair to try to look at, you know, to perhaps prevent the process from being fulfilled simply because you want your candidate to win.
Gloria, politics aside, I know you're very pro-Gore. But politics aside, don't you think that when people go to the voting booth, they should arm themselves with the knowledge of how to vote before they go in there, since they mailed the stuff a month beforehand?
Well, yes, but actually the stuff that was mailed, I mean, some like the sample ballot that was published in the newspapers, I understand didn't even contain the punch holes. And the punch holes are what were confusing to a lot of people. In other words, it didn't even show a round spot where you're going to punch. So that the voters wouldn't have known that, you know, you got to punch the third hole for the second candidate. I mean, who can be expected to know that?
Well, they did. They tested some third graders in the area and gave them the ballot and told them to punch the spot where it said Gore. And out of 60 third graders, all of them got it right. So
yeah, but what I'm trying to say is not only are the punch holes not shown on the sample ballot, but also a caller called me from Florida and said that when that ballot went in the machine, it was not aligned the same way as it is on the ballot. In other words, the holes lined up differently. So by giving those second graders and third graders a ballot, that was very misleading because it didn't take into account the actual experience of the voter in Florida of, you know, having a ballot that goes in that doesn't line up properly, not knowing where the punch holes were, you know, going to be in the first place. So, I mean, really, I think this is really not about a stupid voter, but about a ballot that had a flaw in it, a serious flaw that was misleading to a lot of people.
Well, I guess,
and also, you know, these chads, we're talking about pregnant actresses, now we're talking about pregnant chads.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, who ever heard of a pregnant chad before this? I know I haven't. But, you know, some of the, we want to, the voters who did vote, they're not even going to, some of them have their votes counted. They should be able to have their votes hand counted so we know exactly what their intent was. And then the intent of the voters should prevail. I have confidence in it. Even whether or not it's going to help or hurt my candidate, I think every vote should be counted. And people went to the polls because they wanted their vote to be counted. But apparently Bush doesn't want those votes counted unless he's sure it's going to favor him. And that's not democracy, is it?
Well, I'm not sure about that. The whole thing is they both sides have done things that I think are not up and up. You know, you got Richard Daley's kid running the Gore campaign down there. That doesn't tell me much integrity.
Why? What's it, just because it's his kid? What's the difference?
Well, he's got a reputation on his own. I have no respect.
I mean, you know, what's the evidence that there's any problem with his integrity?
What's the evidence there's any problem with the voting?
Well, there's a whole
because
lot of evidence,
of
and I just pointed out some of the evidence in, of the problems with the voting, and you know, why not have a hand count?
Well, I think that a hand count is obviously very discretionary for the people who are counting. And,
well, but there are monitors sitting there from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, the hand counting is only taking place where it appears that the vote result would be different if there were hand counting.
Well, the hand counting
took
place.
And Republicans have had, there's a number of counties in which there have been a partial hand recount as well in certain Republican counties. Why don't the Republicans want to know what the truth is? What are they trying to hide? Why don't they want the voters to be able to express themselves?
I don't think they're trying to hide anything myself, but...
Well, then why don't they want the hand count? Why do they want to stop the process now while they're ahead?
They had a recount already, you know. I think the
Gore recount was by machine. It wasn't by hand.
Well, Gore wants to just count it and count and count until eventually he wins, and I think that he will. That's what's going
on. Well, he wants the hand count whether or not he wins.
Well,
it does seem that with the hand recount, that, in fact, he has picked up votes.
And
that's what Bush appears to be in favor of. But you shouldn't decide what's a fair process by what the result's going to be, whether it helps you or hurts you.
I think that the nation should be voting. None of them should be doing punch ballots. It should all be by computer so we understand what's going on and people can do it correctly.
Well,
computers
also have their problems, but I'm certainly for any process that would be fairer than this, Mark.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to either side. And whoever wins is going to start off, as far as I'm concerned, with a lot of problems right off the bat because of credibility and the fact that this election is so mixed. It doesn't make any sense to me in terms of the person whoever wins is actually going to lose.
Well, I agree with you that that may be the result, but I'll tell you, if it appears that Bush is trying to steal the election or has short-circuited it, then I don't think he's going to enjoy a lot of confidence from a lot of the American people, and it's going to be very difficult for him to govern. That's why I think it's not only important to Floridians, not only important to the rest of us that there be a fair process, but I think it should be important to him. Whether it is another question.
And if they keep recounting by hand and over again, I think that Gore loses credibility as well.
Well, I don't know about over and over again. The hand counting that's been done in some of the counties has only been of the sampling, like of 1% or 3%, to determine whether, if they continue the hand count, it would make any difference. And they found that it would make a difference in the vote, and therefore want to continue it. But apparently, the Secretary of State tried to cut it off yesterday. The judge issued, I think, a very fair decision, basically saying, you can say that the results have to be certified today, but you can't just say, short of an act of God, we're not going to take the hand count. So I think that was a very fair decision.
Well, I think it was.
And we'll have to see what the reasons are for the hand count.
It was a fair decision. I think the Secretary of State's in a really tough situation there. Being a Republican and all that, it's going to be very difficult for her to deal with the whole situation as well.
Well, maybe she should have recused herself and not made these decisions because she is such a partisan.
That's probably, it would have been a good idea, I think.
That's what the governor did. He stepped down from the state elections board, I believe, and appointed somebody else in his stead because obviously he's got a bias or a conflict. Well, she does too. Why doesn't she let somebody else decide these issues, somebody who would appear to be less partisan?
Well, yeah, that's what should be, not a Democratic activist or a Republican activist.
Yeah.
Get Ralph Nader in there. There you go.
Ralph Nader is what?
Get Ralph Nader as a determinant.
Yeah, very funny.
We're talking with Gloria Allred. And again, the great show, Power of Attorney, which pits two attorneys in cases before a judge. We've had Judge Napolitano on and a number of the attorneys already. And the
That's
show
great.
Is,
yes, he's our television judge.
Yeah, the show is in Boston on WFXT, Channel 25, at 11 and 11:30. And for your area's location, just look in your local listings for Power of Attorney. And I'm wondering, as time goes by, it seems to me like O.J. is still in the news. You saw the movie that's been playing. Have you seen that
yes,
film?
Yes, I did. I saw the first part of the miniseries, Mark.
What'd you think?
Well, I liked the book a lot better, frankly,
because
it just had so much more in it. But the book was fascinating, about the defense team and their goings-on. But I think it's a fairly interesting movie. I'm going to watch the second part tonight.
It should be interesting. We've had a number of people who said that they would never watch it, it's garbage. And Christopher Darden being one of them who said that he would never watch that movie.
Yeah. I don't think Chris wants to be reminded about that case.
Probably
I
not.
Think it's pretty painful for the family, too, the Nicole Brown Simpson family. I mean, you start off by seeing the bodies again, and, what a nightmare that was for them to lose their daughter and their sister, and they were just such a close family, and still are, and it's just, to have this all come back up is just very painful.
Have you spoken to them lately?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I've spoken to Denise. So she's still continuing her good work for victims of domestic violence and trying to prevent violence so nobody else's sister has to suffer the way that her sister did.
We're talking about TV a little bit here, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the law shows out there, Ally McBeal, The Practice. If you enjoy them, if you watch them, what do you think of them?
Just a very little bit, because frankly I don't have too much time. But Ally McBeal, I just want to give her a good meal. I just want to say, okay, here's a good meal, sit down and eat. But other than that, it's kind of fun, it's frivolous, it's television, you can't take it too seriously. But, she's got a hit show, I have to give her credit for that.
That's always fun. And you are on the show, too.
Power of Attorney.
Power of Attorney is a hit show, too. It's on every day. And check it out on your local listings. And, Gloria, I look forward to seeing you at the next convention.
I look forward to that, Mark. You have a great show. And thank you so much for inviting me to be on it.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.